Praise God. Amen. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We can give God glory and thanks for that. Amen. If you got your Bible, I'd like to turn to Acts chapter number 2, where we'll be taking our text from tonight. Acts chapter number 2. I love those old songs that the church here sings. I really do. There's some newer songs that we sing as well, but I just like those good doctrinal songs. Amen. Have a truth. A lot of songs, and I'm glad there's still some new songs being written that are good. That just because it's new doesn't mean that it's terribly bad. But a lot of the newer things that seem to be popular don't have much truth. It's all emotion. It doesn't say much about him. It's all about me. And somebody said it this way, hymns ought to be about him.
Amen.
Amen. And when we sing, we've got something to sing about. And it's more than self. We can sing about Jesus. Amen. I know that song saying, I'm redeemed, but it's all because of him. Amen. He gets all the glory and the honor. Amen. As to us being saved by the good grace of God. Amen. All right, Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42 is where I want to take my text tonight. Read down through these last verses of chapter 2 of the book of Acts. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Ask Brother Hall to lead us, if you will.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, my Lord, being redeemed.
Thank you, Lord, yes.
Thank you that my debt's been paid in full, brother.
Oh, thank redeemed. You, Jesus.
I rejoice in that tonight. You've been so good to me, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you for giving me life. And that give me a wife, family, Lord.
Yes.
Grandchildren, great grandchildren. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a good church. Thank you, give me a good pastor. I pray you a blessing tonight. I'll be appreciative.
Help us, Lord.
May hearts be turned to God.
Yes.
May sinners find Christ tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that you revive the strength of the faith.
Please, Lord, yes.
Last days, give us a helping faith to stand.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. By the way, I mentioned in the announcement there about the marathon coming up and revival meeting scheduled in with that marathon. I hope that you'll pray that the revival meeting will be just that, that it'll be revival. That God might meet with us and help us and stir us, that it'll not just be a break from the marathon or even, and it will be part of the celebration, so to speak, of 40 years broadcasting. What a blessing that is. Amen. But it's not just part of the celebration. It's worship. And it's meeting with God and begging God to meet with His people. So I hope you'll be praying about it. Make it a matter. I'm serious. Make it a, if you will, make it a matter of daily prayer that God would see fit to meet with us and help us in the meeting, and that He would bring in those that need to be brought in and do the work that needs to be done when they get here. Amen. 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 Amen, Brother Hall. Amen. The scripture that I read to you, Acts chapter 42, chapter 2, verse 42. Chapter 2 is dealing with the day of Pentecost. You know, these folks got saved. God did a wonderful work there with the descent, the falling of the Holy Ghost upon these people on that day of Pentecost. And the early church was there endued with power from on high. I don't believe the church started that day, but the church got empowered that day. Got plugged in, amen, that day, no doubt. And that power from on high came, and souls were saved by the multitude. The Bible says about 3,000 souls in verse number 41. And so before that I go to dealing with the excitement and the energy that we see in verses 42 down, and I do want to think on that in a moment, but before we do, I want to look backwards at verse number 41. And if you notice the paragraphs of your Bible, this 41 is the beginning of the last paragraph of this chapter. And so it's part of the same story. But verse number 41 says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now, one of the reasons that I know that the church was there is because the church is the one that has the authority to baptize. And baptism is how you're added into the church. And we see it all there. Well, they didn't begin because they were added. So in other words, they were already there and they were added to that. And I like that that point. But I think about this this fact here that's taken place in this early church, that great day when souls were saved. He says about 3,000. This doesn't give a specific number. One reason being, is I've heard people say, well, numbers are important to God, and they are. I mean, God's interested in every individual soul. He knows the exact number. Amen. He just wasn't interested in us knowing. Amen. Because we never know. That's right. Amen. There could 20 people come in line across this altar, and every one of them give testimony they got saved. And when we get done, we'll say, we had 20 people saved. God knows the exact number. That's right. Amen. We don't know. Amen. On this side, I believe it will prove out. But here's what's interesting to me. This about 3,000 souls that got saved, it looks to me like all of them that believed were baptized. Every single one of them. Nobody refused to be baptized. Nobody wanted to put it off, wanted to postpone, or reject it altogether. They all were baptized. It appears that all of these chose to join the church there at Jerusalem in that day. Amen. Not one of them refused to join the church. Not one of them said, I'm going to go to another church. They all agreed. It looks like every one of them did. Now, here's why I'm saying that, because that is extremely contradictory to what takes place today in a whole lot of what's called soul winning. Right the opposite. I mean, today people will say they get saved and we'll count them. There'll be numbers that will say they got saved, and yet they not only won't be baptized, they not only won't join the church, they won't even attend the church. They won't even show up. Amen. Matter of fact, they won't even quit their sinning. They just go on like nothing ever happened. And I just write it down, nothing ever happened. Amen. Now, in this case, 3,000 above, or about, I'll say it that way, because it's the way the Scripture says, about 3,000 people got saved. You know how many of them got baptized? How many of them joined the church? According to that Scripture, all them. Amen. All them. They that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto the church, about 3,000 souls. Amen. Now, I want to go on from this point and go forward to think about the excitement and the experience of these people. I titled my message this: A Baptist Church, a Biblical Community. A Baptist Church, a Biblical Community. Now, I want to look at these early Christians and see the experience that they had. I want you to think about, as you read this, you read about what went on. I want to read it again, verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, there's some words come to my mind when I read that text and see their experience. Words like gladness, joy. Amen. sincerity, generosity, unity, awe, amazement, wonder. Those words all come to my mind to describe what these early believers felt when they, if I could say, joined the church, when they became part of that biblical community. Now, I want you to think about your own life. Well, how would you describe your relationship? Would you not use words like gladness and singleness of heart and unity and generosity? Would you maybe use words like boring and disappointing, shallow? Some places those are words to be used. Or would you, some people say things like this. Some people say, well, it was fun. It was good. It was nice. It was a positive experience with those things. And by the way, I hope all those are true as well. But here's my thought. When we're looking at this experience of the early church, and I believe we can still have that same experience today, God's not changed. His word's not changed. The Spirit of God's not changed. Amen. He can still do today anything that He ever did in the Old Testament or the New Testament or in between. Amen. God can do anything. And since He's not changed, then we can experience things just like they did as well. Amen. I do believe that. And so I wonder if we say, well, it's good. You know, we have gladness. I was glad when He said, let us go to the house of God. Amen. We have gladness when we come and we have all those different experiences. But where is the wonder and where is the awe? The majesty of God in our services. I want to think about that in just a minute and give you seven. I've got 7 points tonight. I'll try to give them to you as quickly as God will allow me to, and we'll think on them. I don't mean to rush it or to hurry. I want us to think on these things. All right? 7 things that we see them do that I believe we ought to do if we're going to have the kind of Christian community, a Baptist church that is a biblical community like it ought to be. First of all, there was a devotion to Christian teaching. Notice it in verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly. Number one, in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Very different from this crowd today that says, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm not following any man. I get amazed at this crowd. And a few years ago, it was a lot of young people were saying, I'm not following anybody. But you let Britney Spears pierce her navel, they got to pierce theirs too. Amen. You let their favorite ball player or movie star get a tattoo, they got to get one too. I mean, you got to match it. Amen. And they got to do something to be just like them. Well, listen, I want to set my goal on something higher than the people that are in this world, something higher than those that are headed down the wrong road to start with. I want my goal to be set on the things of God. Amen. And so the apostles had given them the word of God, and these people agreed to follow the apostles' doctrine. You notice that. And I believe that the first aspect of a Christian community is that it must be Christian. It's not just a group of Christians that meet together in some kind of a society or some kind of a social gathering, but we meet to study the word of God and to learn the word of God. Amen. We have it seems to me that people have the idea today that the world's got all the answers and we need to ask them how that we ought to be running the church so we'll know how to run it. No, the world don't have the answers. This book's got the answers. Amen. When people come to the house of God and they come to know Christ, it doesn't matter their age, when they first come to know Christ, they are babes in Christ. Isn't that right? We looked at that in 1 John. That's how you start out. Every person, every believer starts out as a newborn believer. They're babes in Christ. So all those old ideas, all those old opinions really doesn't matter. They don't fit today. We need to gain some new ones and we get them right here out of this book. Amen. There ought to be a devotion to the teaching of the Scriptures. I call it Christian teaching. Amen. And so I'll say that it is in the context of studying the Word of God, a commitment to studying biblical truth in which our church can thrive and our church can be what it ought to be. Amen. We ought to study the Bible together. Amen. I hope you don't come to watch me perform. Amen. Amen. When singers, sometimes they call it, they say, well, I appreciate so-and-so performing. I'm not interested in performing. Amen. Clowns perform. Amen. A lot of things perform. I'm not interested in performing. I want reality. I want the truth. Amen. And when we come, I hope that we come not just to see, well, what's the preacher going to say next? What's he going to come up with next? What's going to happen next? I mean, listen, we ought to come to see what's God going to say to me? What can I learn? How can I grow? How can I improve to bring Him more glory and more honor? Amen. And we come, we ought to come with that aspect. Amen. We ought to come to try to learn to apply biblical truth in our life. That is a personal exercise. We ought to try to do that individually. Amen. But it's also a communal exercise. I mean, you ought to have Bible study at home. Amen. I hope you read your Bible through. Amen. I hope that you study, not just read it, I hope you study. I hope you try to apply and add things in your life. Amen. But not just that, I hope you come to the house of God to learn it together. Because that's one of the ways that we do grow, is by learning together. Amen. I don't mind grabbing a snack every now and then, but I like to sit down at the table with my family. Amen. Something special about sitting around the table with your family when they've been working and providing and cooking and planning for that meal. Thank God. That's what church service is about. Amen. It's not just see how quick we can get in, how quick we can get out. Amen. It's not just to see what happens and what takes place, who shows up, who don't show up, that kind of thing. We ought to come to learn from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Those that refuse to study the Bible with fellow believers in the local church setting are handicapping themselves in this walk of faith. Amen. Those that choose to go a different route rather than gathering with the people of God are hurting themselves. Amen. Sometimes we come and we're with the people, but we're not with them. We've zoned it out. Right? We've tuned them out. We've cut the volume down. Our mind's somewhere else. I told you before that as a kid, my dad pastoring up in the mountains of North Carolina, I can remember staring. Well, it's over on this side. I'd be sitting over here. On this side of the wall was a place where they had an old wood heater. That's how they'd heated the building before we got there. Wood heater was gone, but they still had a thimble in the wall, you know, where the stovepipe had gone out. They had that covering over that. And I remember staring at that covering for hours, it seemed like, while my dad preached. And instead of hearing what he was saying, instead of climbing the tree with Zacchaeus, instead of building the ark with Noah, I was swinging through the city with Spider-Man. That's where my mind was. And I'm not saying that for pride, and I'm really not even saying that for you to laugh. I'm saying it because it's possible he's sitting on a pew. It's possible, and I'll say it this way, it's possible for your hide to be in the house of God and your heart 1,000 miles away. Your mind 1,000 miles away. I'll tell you, when we come in, we ought to come in to see what the Bible has to say. By the way, that's one reason I encourage you, carry your Bible. Open your Bible. Study your Bible. Amen. Amen. The Bible's not just something that holds the coffee table from blowing away when a tornado comes. It's something you're supposed to use. It's a tool, amen, that you're to use in your daily life. Amen. I'll say it this way, and I'm going to move on to my next point, but I really believe it ought to be exciting for us to come study the Bible together. Amen. It ought to be exciting. I use that word of the psalmist. I believe it's Psalmist David, Psalm 122, verse 1, said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Amen. House of the Lord. We ought to be glad to enter into the house of God. David said this, Psalm 55, verse 14. He, of course, it's alluding to Judas, and he's talking about Ahithophel, but he says this, we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. David said, I enjoyed going to the house of God with my friend. I enjoyed sitting down with my friend and studying the Scriptures together with my friend. Praise God, that's the kind of friends you need. Amen. Amen. It was the preaching and the teaching of the Bible that led these saints in Acts chapter 2 to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to begin with. Now they're hungry to learn more. They're hungry to continue this feast from the Word of God. We ought to be as well. Amen. So first of all, there ought to be a devotion to Christian teaching. Secondly, there ought to be fellowship and breaking of bread together. Amen. Verse 42 says again, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. I believe The second commitment that is foundational to a Baptist church being a biblical community of believers is the commitment to fellowship. Amen. Fellowship. This commitment really means more than just showing up at Bible study once a week. Sometimes we talk about midweek prayer service, we call it midweek prayer service and Bible study. We have preaching, we have singing, it's a service. But every service really is a Bible study. Sunday school and preaching as well. Amen. Amen. I'm like Brother Blue says, he goes to a lot of these churches and he's there all week, and he said come Sunday morning, there'll be people that show up Sunday morning that haven't been there all week. And now some of them come that wasn't there in Sunday school. But they'll come for the 11 o'clock service and they'll get up in the choir and sing, I want to know more about my Lord. More about Jesus. Amen. Brother Blue said, I always want to say, if you want to know more, why don't you come to Sunday school? That's what it's here for. Amen. Amen. But I'll say this fellowship, that's the time of learning, Bible study. But fellowship is more than just coming, getting around the Bible together. I believe fellowship has this idea of a devotion. A devotion to fellowship, being dedicated to that, that we might have a meaningful part in other Christians' lives. Not just that we know them. I couldn't imagine, I've heard people talk about going to churches that they don't even know all the people. Amen. One of my sons back in North Carolina, talking to me about a preacher friend of his that said that, and this son that told me wasn't Joshua. Joshua's the only preacher son that I have, but this one, he's got a friend that's a preacher, and that preacher said that in his home church, that even the pastor doesn't know everybody's name. I got a little bit of a, I don't understand that, to be honest with you. I believe the shepherd ought to know every one of his sheep. Amen. Amen. Now, he may not know you intricately, and it may be that he's not allowed to. I mean, that's possible. But sometimes people go to some of these, if we want to say mega churches, these big groups, because they want to hide in the shadows. They don't want to be missed. They don't want anybody to say, where was you at this morning? Where were you at last week? Amen. They don't want anybody to say anything like that. And so they want to be able just to slip in and slip out. But I'm going to tell you this thing about real fellowship is when we're in agreement together. We're working together. And I've preached it through the last 2 years that I've been here at different times. On Wednesday night in particular, I preached about how I believe that the church ought to be a family. It ought to be a group where we love one another and actually care about one another. Amen. That's what this idea about fellowship has to do with it. That we are really involved. That we are really interested in having a meaningful part in other Christians' lives. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have non-Christian friends, but I want to say there's something wrong if all your closest friends are not Christians. Something probably wrong with that picture. Amen. There ought to be a fellowship, a breaking of bread together. Again, I'll say this. We see this example of the fellowship in the book of Acts. Fellowship does not happen accidentally. The Bible says if a man's going to have friends, you know the rest of the story, he's got to show himself friendly. He's got to show himself friendly. Amen. And so there is something in that. It's not, well, they didn't shake my hand. Did you shake their hand? I remember my dad several years ago was pastoring. Actually, it was Pastor and Vision, the church that I pastored before I came here. And this lady had left the church, and she sent word back, and she said, I won't ever come back to Vision. She said, I saw Plato Shepherd in town the other Saturday, and she said he crossed the street in front of me two times and never even shook my hand. And I remember Dad said, if anybody ought to be mad, it's me. He said, she said she saw me. I didn't even see her. If she saw me, and that's right, then shouldn't she have, if she wanted me to shake her hand, shouldn't she have got out there and stuck it out in front of me? Amen. 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 Another little story, me and one of my boys, I don't remember now which one, we had had a situation there at Vision some years ago, and a lady had a situation that we had to dismiss her from church membership. We saw her in the supermarket. And me and, I don't remember now which, but I think it was Daniel. And we went in, and she's over there in the produce aisle. And we saw her, And when we started towards her, she went the other way. She went on out, and I just made up my mind I was going to follow her. And I traced her down to the other side of the supermarket, and I went up to her and I said, "How are you doing?" And I won't call her name. I said, "How are you doing?" And she turned, and here's what she said. I mean, Brother Hall, she said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm sorry, I didn't see you over in the produce aisle." That's what she said. I just said, "That's fine, good to see you." Went on, but as we was walking out, Daniel said, "Daddy, if she didn't see us in the produce aisle, how did she know we was in the produce aisle?" Amen. Sometimes people just lie. Sometimes people don't really want the fellowship they say they want. It's like these people that say, "Don't take my name off of the roll. I really want to go to church there. I just haven't been there in 40 years. I've been looking for an opportunity." By the way, if you want somewhere to sit in the house of God, we got chairs open. Amen. We got room for you. And we'll do our best to make room for you if you want to come in and fellowship together. But here's the thing. This thing about fellowship, it's not a one-way street. It's us giving and taking from others. It's a communication, a community of us being together. Amen. One shaking the hand, one making the smile, one making the comment, and a response that follows with those comments and those actions. Amen. Amen. I'll say this, that it doesn't happen accidentally. This sharing meals together, this giving generously of our possessions, this visiting other Christians where they live, is all a part of intentional planning that happened in these people's lives. And I believe it ought to happen in ours. Amen. Amen. Without intentionally spending time together, without a conscious effort towards fellowship, this community, this coming together, will never happen. Amen. Now, I'll say there's absolutely nothing wrong with calling one another or texting or emailing. I know we got all this stuff nowadays that you can communicate. There's nothing wrong with doing that outside of church. Nothing wrong with going to one another's house and fellowshipping together in one another's house. Nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to do all that. Nothing wrong with meeting at a restaurant. So if you're going, let me know. Nothing wrong with meeting at a restaurant with somebody. Nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to do that. We got plenty of time before services and after services. Amen. Now, I'd rather you didn't sit around and talk to each other during service. Amen. But we got before service, we got after service, got plenty of opportunity that we can walk across the aisle or reach across the pew or the row, and we can talk to somebody, we can fellowship, and we can enjoy that time together. Amen. And we ought to. Amen. We ought to. People are starving for fellowship in this day and time. I believe that. Amen. Well, let me say that the first thing was fellowship. There's following the apostles. Then was fellowship. If we're going the same way, we ought to be able to agree with one another. Amen. If we're walking along the same path, we ought to be able to. Now I know that there may be disagreements. You may disagree on the way to pronounce the book of Habakkuk. I mean, you may have a different pronunciation. There may be other things. You know what I'm saying? They're just little things that really don't matter a lot. And there may be some things that are serious that we don't necessarily agree eye to eye, dot ever, I and cross ever T exactly the same. Yet we can have friendship and fellowship one with another. Amen. And we should. In the house of God. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about making this some kind of legalistic thing about giving you a list of how it ought to be done. But I'm just simply saying there ought to be fellowship. We ought to have friendship in the house of God. Amen. God's people ought to care about one another. Amen. We see it right here. There was a following the apostles' doctrine, a dedication or devotion to studying the Bible together. And then there was a fellowship and breaking bread. They ate together. Amen. We have a fellowship hall. We use it. Matter of fact, somebody said, Brother Kuhn said that you had made a comment, you've eaten more meals since you've been in this church than anywhere you believe you'd ever been. Amen. Amen. I like it. That's how, Brother Dell, that's how I got to be a little bit bigger than I was 2 years ago when I came here. Amen. One of the ways. But meals are good. Meals are good, and meals are good when you share them with somebody. There's a difference sitting eating by yourself than sitting and eating with somebody and talking with them. Amen. But here's my point where I'm going. You say, preacher, what's all that have to do with us? Sometimes churches have a fellowship hall and they don't need it because they don't have any fellowship. People can't stand one another. Amen. People on one side that haven't spoken to people on the other side, vice versa, for years. They don't get along. They're not interested in fellowship. You know what I believe? I believe in cases like that, the Holy Ghost is grieved. No doubt in my mind, the Holy Ghost is grieved. There have been situations that my children have not always had that love and relationship that they should have had. Boys sometimes get at odds with one another. Me and my brother were at odds from the day he was born. Everything is fine those first 14 months of my life. No, I'm kidding. But we were at odds. And you know what? My mom and dad didn't like us being at odds. When I see my children not in total agreement with one another, it don't make me happy. Amen. It does make me happy when I see them making amends. When I see them trying to work this thing out and work around this. Maybe just shelve it and say, listen, I'm going to forget it. Just bury the hatchet, as Brother Hall said the other day. Bury the hatchet handle and all, leave it there. Amen. I believe that's how the Holy Ghost is. I believe it grieves our Heavenly Father when He looks around and sees that people don't like one another. Amen. We ought to love one another. Amen. Well, here's my third point. I'll get to that. This third thing is praying for one another. You see that right there, verse number 42 as well, the end of that. And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, praying together and for each other. Amen. Praying together, group praying, and for each other. Amen. I believe that one of the things that will bind God's people together stronger than any other thing is the thread of prayer. Amen. It'll bind us together. I put it this way in my notes. We pray for those we love. And it's hard not to love those you pray for. Amen. We pray for those we love, and it's hard not to love those you pray for. Amen. I wrote some verses down. You don't have to turn. I'll just read them to you real quickly. Paul wrote these, and he's talking about prayer, praying for the saints. He said, Romans 1:9, for God is my witness that I serve, or whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I have mention of you always in my prayers. Ephesians 1:15-16. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and loved all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:12, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 1 Timothy 2:1-2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Philemon chapter 1 verse 4, he says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. In other words, Paul was a praying man. And he prayed for his fellow believers. He prayed for the church that he loved. Amen. As Christians, we're praying people. Prayer is as natural to a Christian as breathing comes to a baby. That baby's born, he's going to start breathing. Amen. If he's going to live, he is. When a child of God gets born, they're going to start a communication with God that's going to continue the rest of their life. If they don't, they won't survive. Prayer comes natural. It does. And I know we got to learn and we got to grow. We need to ask God to help us learn to pray and teach us to pray. And we got to be diligent about those things. But there is a natural proclivity to prayer for those that are saved. But I want to say this. In this thing about we being praying people, we can direct who or what we pray for. It can be all on ourselves. It can be all just for our physical family. Or we can incorporate others. We should incorporate others in our prayer life. Amen. Praying one for another. Amen. Well, I believe we ought to spend time praying for one another as members of the local church. Amen. As members of the body of Christ. The same Christian body of believers. We ought to pray for one another. Amen. I realize we have, especially on Wednesday night when we take prayer requests, sometimes we have more prayer requests than you can remember. Amen. And we're having somebody leading in prayer, and it may very well be that they get done before you're done. May very well happen. You know why? Because we've got all these needs. But I'm going to tell you what we can do. Even whether we remember it right here or not, when we go home in our prayer time, we ought to have some time that when God brings that back to our memory, we'll pray for that. Amen. We'll take, and sometimes, by the way, we ought to set aside special. When you know something special is going on, amen. You know there's a particular need, you ought to take some special time to pray over those things. Amen. Number four, I talked about the fellowship, talked about the studying the Word of God together and the praying together. Number four, continuing in one accord. Look at verse number 46, the first part. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. That idea of one accord, it goes back, Acts 1, and he's talking about them all being together in that upper room and one mind and one accord. Has the idea they're all there for the same purpose. Amen. They're all there for the same purpose. I believe we ought to strive for unity. We ought to strive to come together as a family in the house of God. Amen. Matter of fact, turn to John chapter 17. Our Lord prayed in His high priestly prayer of John 17. He prayed about this thing of unity among the believers. John chapter 17. Verse number 20, John 17, verse 20, and read down through verse 23. Our Lord said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may know, I'm sorry, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Amen. Our Lord is praying for unity among the saints. You ever notice how often the Bible talks about, He says, gives us the exhortation, brethren, love one another. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about let brotherly love continue. Amen. Hebrews 13. I wrote in the margin, not of this Bible, but the other Bible has the Scofield Bible wide margin. In the margin of that where it said, let brotherly love continue, I wrote down, I wish it'd start. If it get started, maybe it could continue. Amen. But the idea is this, and by the way, I'll say that, let brotherly love continue. Let it. Allow it. When you got saved, God put something in you. You didn't hate the church when you got saved. You may have hated it before you got saved. You may have hated people before you got saved, but the moment you got saved, you didn't hate anybody. Amen. How can you when God, who is love, moves in your heart. He sheds abroad the love of God in your heart by the Holy Spirit. How in the world can you hate? But you didn't hate people. When you got saved, you had love in your heart, brothers. But if you don't allow it, it won't continue. You can let other things come in, interrupt, and stop, hinder that love that ought to be continuing on for others. Amen. I'm back in John 17, our Lord, in this prayer. He's praying for that unity. I want you to notice that two times he links this unity really with others seeing that. In verse number 21, that last phrase, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse number 23, that last phrase, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus actually connects this unity with others seeing that, with others witnessing that and it being a witness, it speaking to their heart. Our Lord said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. That you have love one for another. Amen. Amen. The world, they understand barroom fights. They understand that. They understand people grumbling and complaining and not getting along. What they can't understand is that when God does a supernatural work in somebody's heart and all of a sudden they love the people they used to hate. Amen. All of a sudden they can't wait to go back over and let somebody holler at them, spit at them, and take up all their money. They enjoy going to the house of God. They enjoy the things, enjoy the people of God. The world can't understand that. You know what it is? It's a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost, and it witnesses to them. Amen. It witnesses to them when they see that. We ought to ask God, help us. Help us, Lord, that we might exhibit this love that you want us to have. This one accord. Number five, there's the singleness of heart. In chapter 2, Acts 2:46 again. Let me get over there. Acts 2:46. And they, continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Amen. That singleness of heart, that goes back to that being one mind and one accord, the idea of that, but it has more than that. That singleness, I believe, actually means sincerity of heart. They got one purpose. They're sincere. Amen. They're there because they love God. And because they love God and these others love God, they can love one another. Amen. Amen. And so there's this sincerity. I know that on the outside world, if I can say it this way, we got to be careful about being vulnerable. We got to put up a shield. You can't trust people in the world. But we ought to be able to trust people in the house of God. We ought to be able to trust our fellow believer. Amen. Amen. And I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to trust anybody because I've been hurt so many times. You know what you're doing? You're putting yourself in a box. You are putting a shell around yourself and you're hindering yourself and them from getting a blessing. Amen. Amen. Our Lord was hurt, but He kept right on loving nonetheless. Amen. He kept right on going. Amen. And this idea of this Christian community, if I said the Baptist church, that is a biblical community. We love the Word of God. We love each other. We love the Lord. There is a vulnerability around us. We tell one another our troubles. Amen. Amen. We actually, if we got a burden, we share it with our brother. Why is that? Because we know they're not there to talk about us. They're there to pray for us. They're there to scotch us up. They're there to encourage us in the things of God. Amen. I'll say this really, and I believe it's right. This idea about Christian fellowship together is more than just what we get out of it. There's this idea also of, what's the word I'm looking for? The word just slipped my mind. Here's the word, accountability. One of the reasons why people don't want to join the church, one of the reasons why people don't want to be a part of the church, churches of today, they don't want to be accountable. Amen. That's why boys will shack up with girls for years. They'll not marry them because they don't want to have to be there tomorrow night if they don't want to. Amen. Or vice versa. You go along that line. People shack up with churches. Amen. They won't join. Why is it? They don't want to be accountable. They don't want somebody saying, well, where were you at? Why? Well, did I see you coming out of the beer joint? By the way, if you do see a brother coming out of the beer joint, you ought to go to him and ask him about it. What's going on? Amen. Sure. Amen. Don't go calling everybody else and telling everybody else. Go to them, find out what's going on. Amen. That's right. Why? Because, by the way, if you see me coming out of a beer joint, I wish you'd tell me because I'm probably out of my mind or I didn't realize it was a beer joint, but I wanted to be notified. Amen. That's right. Amen. Well, this accountability to one another in the church. I believe we need it. If we're going to grow like we ought to grow in our Christian life, we need accountability one to another. Amen. And then number six, I'm winding her down. Number six is this thing about praising God. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God. Amen. It's one thing to get excited when you're all by yourself. And that's good. But it's even better when your cup runs over and sloshes out in somebody else's saucer. Amen. Amen. Even better when we can We can do like David said, oh, come and let us exalt the Lord together. Oh, come and let us magnify the Lord together. It's good when we can praise Him together. Amen. In the whole congregation, when we sing praises, amen, we ought to be singing praises unto our God and giving Him the glory He deserves. Amen. Amen. This thing about praising God together, it's more than just singing together. It's more than just praying together. It's actually worshiping God together. Amen. I believe that that's how we ought to conduct our life in the house of God. Amen. As we share with what God's doing in our life, we're talking with one another. We can rejoice with one another over victories that we've gained. We can rejoice with one another over prayers that have been answered. Amen. We can, and I talk about holding people accountable. We can rejoice when we see growth in one another's life. Amen. We can rejoice in those things together, giving God glory. Amen. Taking time to praise God and thank Him for what He's done. And when we do that, Brother Doug was talking about this morning, using the illustration of the triangle, God at the top, man and his wife on the side, and we use you and whoever else. And as we get closer to God, we get closer to one another. Amen. When we start praising God, I believe it knits our heart together. Amen. Amen. And then last of all, verse 47 as well. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I call that evangelism. It's part of being a Christian community. Part of being a Baptist church. The Baptist church, Jesus didn't start the church on the premise that we build a big fortified wall around it and we just huddle up and wait for Jesus to come. Amen. Jesus didn't intend on us joining monasteries. Matter of fact, there's no such thing as a Baptist monastery. Amen. Amen. He didn't intend on us getting off somewhere all alone just segregating off, you know, keeping everybody else off and being away from everybody. No. Now, I realize He does talk about us being separate. And there is a whole lot about come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. But at the same time, we're in this world as salt and as light. Amen. That light has a tendency to pierce the darkness. That salt has a tendency to pierce the sore or to pierce whatever it's working on, has a tendency to flavor those things that are around it. Amen. God intends on us not just coming in here and keeping it all in here, but going forth with the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And by the way, I'm not just talking about an organized visitation program. I'm not dead set against that, but I'm not at all in favor of it either. My dad used to say this, and he's right. He said, I've always had a problem. If you work beside of a man 4, 5, 6 days a week, whatever your schedule is, you work beside that man every day, and you've done it for months maybe, you've done it for weeks, and you've not said one word to him about Jesus, you've not said one thing to him about the Lord or the church, and then because it's Thursday night and you're supposed to go visit him, then all of a sudden you got a burden for him. Then all of a sudden you want to take a brother and go to his door and knock on his door and invite him to church. By the way, I'm not against knocking on doors and inviting people to church. I am for that. Amen. I am. I'm for that. But it ought to be with the attitude, a genuine attitude. Not, I'm doing this because it's Thursday night and the preacher's going to fuss at me if I don't. And I've got this quota that I've got a list. And I've made this resolution that I'm going to reach this many. Amen. That I'm going to do so much this year that I haven't done. And so I'm going to add this. And these are part of my works. Then all of a sudden, something's wrong with that. Amen. Amen. But here's how I really believe Christian living is. Nothing wrong with knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus if you're doing it in the right mode, the right mindset. But what about when you're on the job and you see somebody having a problem and you put your arm around them and say, I'll pray for you. I go to the Island Ford Baptist Church and we love people. We'll be glad to pray for you. I'll mention your name on Wednesday night prayer list. We'll put you on the prayer list. We'll pray for you. And you're exhibiting to them real Christianity. Amen. Not just when you do that. How about when you eat your meal and they see you bow your head? You're not ashamed. You're not acting like you're scratching your face or wiping your nose or something. Amen. Amen. They actually see you representing Christ. Now, you got to be careful how you do that. I worked with a fellow when I worked in the glass plant. There's a fellow there. He'd come and he wasn't ashamed to bow his head and pray out loud with his AC/DC shirt on while he was doing it. And I want to say, fellow, you're advertising two different worlds. Amen. So if you, it's not wrong to bow your head, but it is wrong to wear an AC/DC shirt. I hope you understand that. All right, you got that? Throw out your AC/DC shirt, tapes, records, all that mess. Amen. Keep on praying. I'm just simply saying live your life as a Christian. Not a put on, not a make believe, not a performance. Just being a real Christian. Everywhere you go, whether it's at Walmart or, amen, whether it's at the grocery store. And I say Walmart, I ain't always talking about Brother Ricky. Everybody goes, most everybody goes to Walmart. Amen. Amen. But true, wherever you go, at the doctor's office, amen, wherever you are, at the dentist's office, I had the opportunity this week, I don't like going to the dentist, I had to go to the dentist, and got told me, they asked me why I was here, I told them that I pastored a church, they said, where do you pastor? I said, Island Ford Baptist Church, and it turned out the lady that took me in there lives on Island Ford Road, but did not know where Island Ford Baptist Church was at. Amen. I had the opportunity to tell her, amen, amen. I'm saying day by day, God gives us these opportunities to share the gospel with others. Amen. Amen. This thing about we're living in a secular society. We've got to be careful how much we get entangled with it. But we're here. And while we're here, we ought to be pointing men and women, boys and girls, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know who's got the answer to all these problems? It ain't Donald Trump. Amen. And it sure ain't Al Sharpton and his crowd. Amen. It's not higher education. It's Jesus Christ. The only hope for these children, the only hope for this society is our Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for our state, the only hope for our nation is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what our job ought to be? Our job is to get as full of God as we can and go out and just shine as bright as we can. I thought about while the preacher was preaching last Wednesday night, the little fellow going to Columbia, and he said, here's what I thought, and I didn't say it because I thought he might think I was talking about his stature, but he's talking about letting our light shine. And I thought, this little light of mine, it may be a little light, but I want to let it shine. I may not be the biggest light in the community, but I want to be as bright as I can. Amen. I want to burn. Here's what our Lord said about John the Baptist. He said he was a burning and a shining light. Amen. I want to burn for Jesus. I want the world to know that it's real to me. It's not just a job. It's not just a belief. It's reality in my life. Amen. And thank God it is in other people's, and I'm glad for that. That's what the Baptist Church is supposed to be about. Amen. This community of believers. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And though the message tonight's been a little different, been some instruction as a church, Lord, help us as individuals that make up the church. Lord, help us to be all we ought to be. Please, Lord, help us that there'd be reality. No performance, no hypocrisy, no fluff. Just true, genuine, shoe leather Christianity. That we'd live it before men and women. That we'd live it before our own family. That we'd live it among those we work around, among those we shop with, among those we live next door to. Father, help us to shine for Jesus. Lord, help us to come together, be strengthening each other. And drawing strength from each other. Help us to have that fellowship and that love and that studying of the Scriptures. That prayer for one another and with one another. That thanksgiving and praise unto our God and that evangelism that points others to Thee as well. Lord, I pray move in the invitation time according to Thy will and accomplish what You want to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, altar's open. 337. If you need to come, obey the Lord. Do what He says do.